This is a production of Cornell University.
Any discussion? All right. If there's no discussion, you know, all in favor, say aye, raise your thing or whatever.
Aye.
Oh, I can't vote. I forgot about that. So,
so what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 in favor, 1 abstention. I think that's all of it. So, okay. So, the next thing that Logan put down, I guess it's really a report, a brief report from the UA meeting last Tuesday. And basically what? There were three of us that were there. Four, right. So four of us were there. Anybody want to summarize the... I mean, I can do that too. Right. Let me summarize and then you can chime in. So there were two parts of the meeting that were relevant to us. The first was the presentation and just Q&A with Martha Pollack. And that, from our collective perspective, went well. So she acknowledged that the student code would be part of a broader campus code of conduct, even though we're working on that separately. And that was very important. And generally, it was quite agreeable with respect to the timeline. So, you know, before we thought the end of this semester would be a hard and fast time deadline, and she said as long as we're making reasonable progress, substantial progress, that would be acceptable. And we continue in the spring, we had to do that. The second part of the meeting, and then I'll ask for comments. The second part of the meeting was more contentious. There was the discussion of our two resolutions, only one of which was contentious, and that was to pull down the posting of the University Council draft and because that was the only thing that was up still, was the University Council draft. And that discussion ended with what I think we describe as a compromise, in which we tabled that resolution, asking that draft be pulled down. And so we tabled that, and the draft was taken down. The other resolution on the scope of this committee's consideration of the code, basically, basic principle of that resolution had been conceded by the president in the Q&A. Conceded is probably the wrong word to agreed to. So, because of lack of time, we just tabled that indefinitely. So, in effect, both resolutions accomplished their purpose. I think that's it. I mean, did I leave anything out or, you know, screw anything up?
Well, we asked, Logan asked several questions directly to the president. And the president said she had answered them already and handed out two documents that she said had answered those questions, so she wouldn't address them.
Which are available somewhere.
Right here.
Oh, okay. So
they're not available at this meeting, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
She handed them out to the UA members.
She handed them out to the UA. That should probably, we should probably distribute those in
the
future.
The two were a memo of April 22nd, 2019, directed to the members of the UA and the CJC, and the other one doesn't have a date, but I believe it's titled Request the UA to Address Recommendations of the Presidential Task Force on Campus Code of Conduct. And that had a handwritten note at the top from the president saying it had been sent to the UA by email through Matt Battaglia in September of 2018, and then handed out to UA members in October, and then sent again directly to UA and CJC members by email in April of 2018. And the president said, you know, my ideas have not changed, and so what is it here is what reflects the answer to the question that we had drafted at the last meeting.
So Margaret, could you make a note that those two documents probably should come to us in the next meeting?
I'll email them again.
Yeah, and some, and then we can distribute them. I'm not going to try and summarize them. Basically, I think they've been superseded largely by the University Council's draft with respect to the student code. So since we have that would probably supersede the others. But anything else about the UA meeting that we should?
So coming out of that meeting, did you feel it was clear that everybody understands that it's the CJC's decision on, or the CJC's choice on whether and how to amend the current code, including whether it should be just a student code, whether it should be broader, whether to use what the general counsel's office has, university counsel's office has given us, how much we use it. Is that understood?
That the president was actually quite open about that.
Mm-hmm.
We praised the council's office for the work they had done, mm-hmm. and said that we were going to consider it as a foundation for our discussions, but we'd change it how we wish. And she said that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was her understanding as well. The one point at which we were probably going to be at loggerheads was over the construction of what is now the Office of Judicial Administrator, in which case, in my comment to her, I asked if she would collaborate with us in the design of that office. And she was really reluctant to say that. I think that's probably going to be a sticking point,
mm-hmm.
As we go into discussions. But her arguments for situating, and it's unclear in the council draft what it means to be under.
Mm-hmm.
The Dean of Undergraduate Students, and so that needs a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
to design whatever that might be, but her position was that it was very difficult to recruit strong judicial administrators from a national search without the job security that would come with a more regular appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that argument taken alone, that has some weight to it. I don't know, anybody else was on that? I was on the JA search committee. I've forgotten who.
I
so On that JA search committee, the applications were weak. They weren't strong. And, you know, how we account for that would be another thing. But she's right about that. I mean, they weren't strong. On the other hand, when we get to there, designing the JA's office so we can simultaneously recruit stronger candidates and preserve shared governance considerations might be something we discuss. I think that was the only real disagreement in process.
Process-wise, yeah. I think also content-wise, an area which she kind of was very strong that we weighed on is judicial processes of Greek life. She said, she's very clear, get the stuff you can get done, and wait for Greek life to be like a phase two thing. She was really clear on that, I think, from just like listening. The priority is very much so. She was very forward, and yes, she believes it should be a student code. She was also very forward about where she believes in JA. I think she's very forward in most of the stuff, like everything, like Virgin said, everything that she believes is in the draft that we were given. But then she did say, when asked about the question about Greek life, she's like, wait until we have this done, and then enter into a conversation about Greek life, and if it should be part of it or should not be part of it.
Well, actually, her paragraph in her original statement was, encourage us, you, meaning the committee, to consult with the Division of Student and Campus Life if you move forward in these areas.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just wait. Maybe she said that in the course of things. On the other hand, I got the impression that the entire issue should be considered through the format of student and campus life and the notion of a separate code for students.
So, if we got far enough along, we could at least broach that discussion, that issue, later on. Anything else about that?
I'd like to call the committee's attention, if you haven't read it already, Professor Claremont's memorandum. I wonder if you have all read it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Have you all read it?
Yes.
Okay. Because that has a lot to say about the, that has a lot to consider. It may not have direct relevance to the president's visit, and but it does to the discussion that we had afterwards at the UA meeting. For example, the independence of a student code from the general code versus the embeddedness of it in the general code. We've touched a bit on that when we talked about administering the code and how it would be through department, the student in campus life, digital administrator would perhaps be an arm of the student office, and as opposed to a general administrator of a code as broadly defined. And the second matter is one that will come up as we're discussing procedural questions. That second matter covered in here, I'll bring up in context of procedural layout that mm-hmm. was given to us by the university council's
office. Yeah, I please shouldn't go to Claremont's memo.
It's
not here, so.
Well, the memo's here.
We are.
No, the memo's here, but
we're also here, and we can speak to those viewpoints if that's helpful. If you would like that.
Sure.
That's your call.
Point of order.
Yeah.
Mm. In terms of the way that this meeting is going to go, it seems to me that this is premature.
Okay.
Discussing that, and I think that we should try to follow the agenda.
So especially since I'm not really the chair. What I'd like to do, because we really need to make progress on this, and it'll uncover things that we need to do. So, Margaret, can you get rid of that picture of all of us? Or somehow... Yeah, maybe make it small.
Do you want me to go to this?
Yeah, I want you to go there. So make that a full screen thing. So, yeah, like that.
Can we make it bigger?
Yeah. So, if everybody's okay with that, I'd really like to turn to the text. So that first thing, we can ignore that. I mean, I put that there. It's just to rearrange things so that the student code will be a subset. But I don't think that's important right now. Could you, Margaret, could you spin us down to wherever we left? Okay, we're there. So I think that's where we're at. And I'm in the awkward position of having, in this early part, of recommending changes, and chair shouldn't recommend changes. But anyway, that's the thing I recommended. And that should probably be the focus of our discussion first. So, read it and...
I liked it. I thought it was quite nice.
Well, I tried to incorporate your stuff, so
yeah. Well, that's not the only reason I liked it either. I mean, I thought that what you did was to kind of tighten it up a bit, the pros. And and I think we did agree, at least a majority agreed, to remove the civility piece, though the civil discussion you have there is still in there. I mean, so it seems to me that what you wrote is it's good. Can I also mention, in terms of kind of going through this material, I did go through the current code, and what I did for myself was kind of highlight pieces that I wanted to kind of think about as we're going through it, to see, are there things in the current code we want to have in there? Are there things that are not in here that we don't care about having from the current code? But my sense is that if we go through this and just judge what this part, the principles and rights type part, says, and if we like it, then we can also kind of do another sweep through to say, are we convinced that what's in the current code is represented as we want it to be? That's my sense of it, because it's real hard to just line it up side by side.
I think that's a good thing. Okay. This isn't our only run through,
right? Okay.
The code. And, we want the document to make sense, to be coherent, to do what we want it to do. But by going through the existing code at the end or somewhere along the way and catching things that otherwise, we would do. Anything else on this proposal?
Just what do we do if we want that proposal to live? Do we just paragraph above?
Right. It just replaces that paragraph above. So what Margaret would do is just strike that paragraph above and then make that paragraph black.
I make a motion that we do that. Does anybody second
do
that?
Do
you second it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have
to amend it? Yeah. Why don't we just vote? I'd say any discussion, but we've already...
discussed it.
Yeah, we've already discussed it. So, all in favor? One, two.
I raised my hand.
Three, four, five, six, seven. Seven in favor. That's everybody except me. I abstain. So, good.
Beautiful.
I love to see progress.
Yes,
right. Okay. Progress.
We should applaud every time we have progress. After the last couple of years' experience. So now we have the next one.
I like it.
I like it too, but what I would propose doing for the purposes of this draft is removing student code and putting back in campus code, because, it feels to me like there is at least some agreement on sort of a general idea of principles that that the whole campus is going to be able to agree on, have concurrence on it, and that this is the section.
Yes.
So to keep saying the student code gets away from that notion that this section we're talking about feels like we have agreement is for the campus. So I think I was marking, highlighting for myself where all the places in this section it says student code. Seems to me that for a working draft, we should replace that with campus code, and then we can consider it again if we want to.
So
I would move to amend.
You're proposing an amendment to
say the campus code.
Campus instead of student, and capitalized C.
Yes.
I'm not sure I agree because the code for everybody else is not going to be quite the same in that particular respect. We as adults are not going to be treated in the same way as a student with respect to growing as an employee, as employees, right? And we're expected to either follow it or not get fired.
For staff, not for faculty, but I mean.
But for staff, right. So it's a different, this is something, this particular paragraph is relative to how we want our students to be treated.
That's how I read it. That's what I was going to say as well. I think that the opportunities for growth, the implementation of restorative practices, that is very student-driven language and student-facing language, and I don't think it fits in the code for faculty and staff. I know if I make a mistake grave enough to be terminated from the institution, I'm going to be terminated. You know, like, I just think when a student makes a mistake, we educate them, we help them learn from their behavior, and we set them out in the world again to try, because that's why they're here. With us, I think it's different.
Yes, well, we just passed something that had the word student code in it, and I'm confused, but obviously you guys know what everything's going on. Are we working on this as a student code of conduct?
There will be, my understanding is that we are working on the student code and we are flagging at the same time those portions and passages that might apply to a campus code. Mm-hmm. And so what we would be doing here to say campus code would be, in effect, to flag this as something, I think Laura's right in the interpretation, something that would apply to staff and faculty. That's my understanding.
Well, I'm still confused, but maybe Laura can explain to me. Is this a part of a student code, or is this a part of the general code?
I would think this is something we want to be a part of the student code.
So, in other words, the document we're working on presently is a student code.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, why do we want to?
The issue would be whether. Thank you, Margaret. Corrected my grammar. Capitalized C. In the end, we make a second run through. If we were to accept Reese's amendment, then we might be moving this, out. So the question really is whether it's going to be in the student code or it's going to be part of that campus code of conduct for everybody. That's the issue.
Okay. And we are not working on the campus code for a while then, I guess.
But we are considering which elements of this code would be in the campus code rather than in the student code.
So why have it in here at all if it's going to be in the campus code?
Well, no, the issue, Marty, is as it stands now, it's the student code, and it would be appropriate for this discussion. If we adopt Reese's amendment, it would say the campus code, and then probably in the end, we'd be taking it out of the student code of conduct. That's my understanding.
I want to withdraw my idea for, it's not really an amendment in a certain way because we haven't moved anything, but for removing student code from this. What I think would be useful is as we go through, and we haven't gone very far, so it wouldn't be much backtracking to do, is as we go paragraph by paragraph, I think we should identify the provisions that we think apply more broadly and which ones we think are specific to a student code. This one might be one of them. And we may want to reorder where some of these provisions come. But I think it would be really useful if while we're doing it, we say, okay, this could apply to everybody. This can apply to everybody. This may apply just to students.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Then at the top of this is listed campus student code of conduct. We didn't change that, right?
No, we did. We changed it last month.
Well, I know we did, but right now it's working with, oh, I see, to the campus code of conduct.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So,
Marty, I think we all understand what we're doing.
I see. Okay. So then the first line, which says the student code of conduct governs students, doesn't have to do with the campus code of conduct up above. It's a sort of...
There would be, in the end, there'd be the campus code of conduct, and then the Cornell student code of conduct would be a subsection of the campus code. And that's the section we're working on now.
Sort of.
Well, then we ought to have somewhere at the top here, this is the student code of conduct.
That's what the green part will be in the end.
Did we put that in?
No. It's just standing there. It'll have to be done at some point, but that's the idea.
I propose that we have the subtitle in green accepted as the subtitle for the content of the requirement.
That'd be very helpful.
Yeah, that's a motion to accept those changes.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah. See, it's kind of mush. There's a lot of mincing here. So whether we vote to call this part a student code or not, we're kind of working with it that way. But there's a mix of things that apply to more than students.
Yeah.
So what I think we should do is not worry about how we've labeled it right now and recognize that it says student code in different places. And that as we go through this first section, which clearly has material that applies to everybody, that we identify which paragraphs apply to everybody and which paragraphs are specific to students, and just don't worry about the label right now.
So, let's see. We have a a proposal to accept those amendments, or you're withdrawing your proposal. Okay, so let's go back down to where we were. Margaret, to wherever. Now, what we can do with this, what I suggest, if we accept the proposed language here, turn it into black, replacing that paragraph, and then to the side, as Risa says, revisit this just revisit this. We'll know what that means. Is that...
That's fine, but I'd really like it if we just go back, you know, a few paragraphs and say which of these things that we've already gone through apply to the larger group, which apply just to the student group, and that we keep a tally of that the way you're talking about as we're going through.
I agree with that.
Okay. So
we're only like 3 to 4 paragraphs.
Yeah,
you know,
but
like
we're putting the text in. So, Margaret, if you could... Scroll down slowly. Okay. We've got to do this by paragraph because we don't know which portions we've done. Yes.
I think all the way up to code provisions that lies to students, that part, like some of that part says Cornell campus property, like that can apply to everyone. So it's like the student code of conduct applies to all students, registered student organizations. That part stays with the students, but if you like just flag that saying that space for students, but you can use this whole paragraph for anyone, just replacing the noun.
Yeah, I think that's right. Margaret, could you pull us down a little bit more here? Okay, so everything down to character
could also be.
Yep. So,
for everything.
So, Margaret, make a note that all of this section down to character, Joe, you can make a note. Yeah, you make a note, because then Margaret can do other stuff. I don't know what she's going to do, but so off to the side, just say flag this, and we'll know what that means. Okay, so is it done?
There.
Okay, Margaret, could you take us down then? Student code. Boy, that's where we are, right?
Yep.
So now the question: do we still have an amendment here?
This is yours.
No. Okay. So the default is back to the language that's there. Now, if we accept the new language, we would still, as Joe recommends and Risa recommends, we'd still say flag this. So we come back to it.
Just say, I'm not sure we need to flag this one because this one is clearly student.
Yeah. Talking about personal mistakes and growth.
Okay, so we can vote on flagging separately.
Mm-hmm.
Let's vote, or let's discuss and then vote on this proposed language. So, do we have a motion?
Motion to accept the language.
Second.
Discussion.
I think the language is good. What I'm going to suggest that we put on the side, this is a suggestion, is to consider, not this minute, but to consider at some point whether this paragraph should be moved someplace so that it doesn't interrupt the flow of many of these principles that are going to apply to everybody.
Yeah. First of all, let's vote on the language. All in favor?
It's not clear to me. We're voting on which red one?
The first one. That
first
one. And to replace the above paragraph with that language.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor? I can't vote. So, all opposed? So, what is that? Six favor, two abstentions. And Margaret, if you could do that. I'm going to suggest that on flagging that we not vote, that we just do it. If anybody wants to flag anything for any reason, then we can put that flag out there. So in this case, the flag would be possibly move.
Yeah.
So if we could have a little flag out there, Margaret, or...
I don't think we have to do, the whole paragraph, because it's going to start to get really, really confusing to read, just, the first word, or whatever. Yeah.
No, just possibly move.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yes, that would be pretty
well. Okay. Am I moving too fast?
Yeah. No.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I'm not, screwing things up because I really want to move. So the next section is, again, a paragraph, a proposed language to replace the paragraph above.
Well, Risa suggested that you can suggest that you did in that thing of replacing, of taking the end enjoyment out for the second to last line. Do you still hold to that, Risa?
I don't even remember saying that.
It was in your site. I think I took it out. Yeah, it's not there. It's not there in my proposal.
Oh, okay.
Down.
Sorry.
Down.
You have enjoyment.
Yeah. So enjoyment is gone.
I have an old.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
It's still there.
Oh, so there's possible enjoyment next size of these, right?
Oh, it is. That was two. Were there 2 inches? Okay. So responsible. So a proposal to amend the proposed language to strike enjoyment and. Is that correct?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
It needs. Somebody needs to propose that.
I propose that we strike enjoyment
and. And we need a second.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor? So six and one, and one abstention. Now it reverts back to the entire proposal. Any amendments to the entire proposal? Okay, if. So a proposal to accept, a motion to accept the proposal. Do we have a second?
Second.
A second. Any discussion? All in favor? Anyone? Well, an abstention. Six, and an abstention. So the same.
Applies to everybody.
Yeah, well, they should be flagged. So that paragraph, yeah. And the paragraph above there, go up. We're striking that paragraph,
principle.
The first paragraph that says principle of freedom, that's gone. Okay, so now we're moving down to the next proposed language.
Your proposed language says the same thing and it's much simpler to understand.
That was the intent.
Yeah, whoever wrote this is.
Hmm?
Yeah, really verbose, whoever wrote this original thing.
Well, then, yeah.
Motion to accept the change. Second motion.
Second. Okay, Jen?
I was kind of all in favor. I got excited. That was a quick one.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Good. Six and one. So what we're doing, Margaret, is that paragraph that, well, go ahead.
Do we have seven? Seven.
Oh, that's right. We do have seven. A lot of those votes have been seven. Yeah, strike that. Very good. Oh, wonderful.
Wow.
Oops. Okay.
And that applies,
so that should be flagged as applies to everyone. Boy, Logan's going to be so jealous. Make all this progress. Okay, so that's the next paragraph.
So this is where I think it gets jumbled when we start moving away from principles. Yeah. And so I think if I like your change, Richard, but if we do accept it, this would be the student-only portion. Because this is heading more to the processes and procedures realm.
Yeah, I, there are things we want to flag later, and you know, alcohol on campus, driving. Mm-hmm. There's some really weird stuff in this thing, but in the council draft, there were, I mean, like
the procedures.
Well, it's in the first council draft.
I have an idea. I like about meetings is when people talk and stuff, you know, stuff happens in your brain. I don't think it shows up here, but what I'm thinking we might want to do, the ones that we're flagging that really go to, like, you know, procedural enforcement type issues, which I don't think belong generally in this notion of principles. Mm-hmm. I think that what we might end up, what I'm considering might be a good idea to do in the end as we're collecting these and thinking about moving them down, is perhaps we'll have some kind of a heading or subheading called due process, mm-hmm. right? Or fair processes or fair procedures. That one of the principles that I think is not explicit in this general notion of principles is that we believe in due process. We believe in fair procedures to enforce provisions of a code. And that could be enforcing people's rights, as well as enforcing provisions that are identified as violations. And that is, in my view, a principle that applies to everybody on the campus. And what we may end up doing then is to say that depending on which group we're talking about, certain procedures may apply to some and not to others. But that the general principle of due process and fair procedures is one that I think as a campus we should assert belongs to mm-hmm. everybody. That's my idea. I don't think, and like I'm saying, I don't think we need to do that now, but with the things we're flagging to say, let's consider moving some of these things. This is my view, rather than just chopping them out and saying, well, here's just stuff about students, to say there is a principle at stake here, and it's due process and fair procedures, and that under that we may want to have for students, for staff, for faculty, we believe in that general principle. How it is carried out may differ depending on the group.
Could we add a phrase in the paragraph we just amended to that, since it's for everybody, about due process and fair procedures, and then the next paragraph is about the student as it is here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be a good place to put it too.
I think, yeah, because the next section that we would go into is the commitment on free speech, so we could push that part up to here, because it's part of the, like, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not sure I know what it's going to look like, but that's kind of the concept, and it might be that we can put it into, you know, certain things that belong to everybody, and then also have a separate subsection on procedures.
So, Lisa, if I'm understanding you correctly, we would accept this proposal with the flag, add due process section
mm-hmm.
Off to the side.
Yeah.
And keep track of that. I'm not sure I understand what that looks like, but I think you would know this better than I. So that being the case. So that's the proposal you're making?
Yeah.
So is there a second to that? First of all, okay, that would be a second. Any amendments to this, other kinds of amendments to this language before we do that?
Can I just say, I can't say for this sort of thing exactly whether I have amendments. Yeah, I mean, I think it looks good. I think you've done a really good job of making it clear. There may be some things later, you know, that we want to do with this, but I mean, to me, it looks good at this point.
We're not committed.
Right.
You know, all we're doing is getting a draft, and then in making this draft, we will be moving some things
right.
around
right.
and
right.
so forth and so on. So
my understanding is that this, what we're doing now, is creating a clean draft, like the kind that we could post for comment to the community.
Yes, mm-hmm. you said it much better than I. Mm-hmm. So we have
we have a motion to accept, we have a second, and we, with the proviso that we will put off flag, add a due process section. Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
All in favor?
I'm abstaining.
I'll abstain. So what do we have? Five in favor and three abstentions.
Does that carry?
And then Margaret, yes, after you turn that black, we need a flag that says add due process section. Maybe, well, it's okay. Your question mark is probably appropriate. But anyway, let's scroll down to the next one. Now we're in the thick of it.
So this
yes.
Sorry. This body has the decision making power to decide where the JA reports.
We think currently that's like we do. We are the people that JA reports to.
But we have the power to change them?
Mm-hmm.
We're actually not this proposal doesn't change that. What the University Council proposal does is change that.
Right.
So this is going back to the status quo, which means that, you know, this wouldn't even need approval by the UA because it is what it is.
Right. But the president wants us to change it.
Yes.
As requested.
As that draft says.
In the procedures that we were recently given, there's a process in which it is still a somewhat shared process, obviously not as firm as we have it now, but there is still consultation with the University Assembly. There is still the search committee, which the University Assembly participates in. So this, how I read it, is saying there's now a formal reporting line for career HR, all that fun stuff, and relationships within SEL that are stronger than what the current JA has now. Obviously, it still says in the procedures that we were given, it goes more into depth of what that looks like. I don't know necessarily why they put this part in the principles of this document, because I don't think it belongs there. I think that it would much rather belong in like the definitions or scope section, because I think that makes more sense. But I agree with content.
Can I ask a follow-up question? So are we changing the name to the Office of Student Conduct, or do we already have that? I thought it was just the Office of the Judicial Administrator.
Yeah, they also use different language in the procedures that we were given of what we call things.
Right.
So
this is more commonly known in higher ed world.
Yeah.
This reads.
And it's more developmental than Judicial Administrator.
Because if we're accepting Richardson, I would propose that we call it the Office of Student Conduct, but if we're not making all those changes, that has implications throughout the project.
I realize that this is going to sound like kicking the can down the road, and probably is. I just don't think we're ready for that discussion. I think that this is one of the things, I agree with Joe, it doesn't belong here.
Right.
It's not a basic principle, but it's, you know, just not. It's nuts and bolts, which have real substantive meaning, but they're not basic principles in the way that these other things are. I think this is one where I would propose that we don't actually decide what to do with it. I think we need a full discussion about what to do with this, because there are a lot of different viewpoints on this. And so I think we should just flag it and say it doesn't belong in this section, and that we should discuss it fully and debate it when we get to the place where this should be, whether that's definitions or procedures or whatever.
So what you're proposing, Risa, is something that's pertinent to not just the red substitution, but the paragraph prior to that.
Well, the paragraph prior to it is the...
No, I mean, what I thought what we were doing here was saying, do you like the red versus the black? And right now, the red has all that stuff in it about Office of Student Conduct, student and campus life, the judicial administrator reporting to that person. And I'm suggesting that what you're saying is that we need to say that that whole construction of two paragraphs, the substitution as well as the original, aren't pertinent right now.
That's my view.
So what I would, why not make a motion to just remove them from this document and have them be discussed later?
Well, I think that we're just simply recognizing it's here, and I think we should just come back to it and say, we're not going to have this as part of this provision. We agree on that, but we're flagging it to note that we're going to move it, just like we did with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just like flag it and say, as Marisa said, possibly just move it down, like later discussion to have in the scope section of this document?
Yeah, we're not going to forget about this.
Right.
So if we say just postpone discussion, we're not.
Postpone discussion, and I'm sorry, I'm going out of the queue, but I'm wondering if we can all agree, maybe we could vote on whether we agree that this material about the construction of the office should be in some other section. And if we agree on that, then we can note that we've agreed on that and that we will return to the substance of it.
Basically, I was going to say the same thing. It seems like this almost ought to be up in the top. The thing is, the student code is governed by or managed, under the auspices of.
Where the campus code divides up.
Yes, where it divides.
In fact, divides up due process. I mean, there's a.
Right.
The way I understand it, where we move it is up in the air. Mm-hmm. That it should be moved is the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those who believe that this section should be moved, you didn't get a second or anything, but okay. So 7 and 1. And so what we're doing, Margaret, is that whole section there, that's being, moved somewhere. To be moved.
To another section.
Yeah.
Not just moved, to another section. And that we're postponing the content, the discussion of the content.
Yeah, but it's all yellow, so it's. Okay, so that moves us down. So. Michelle had a note, I think that's hers. She's not here, so
the core values.
Yeah, it's a. I think the core values should not. Here's the chair editorializing. The core values apply to the campus as a whole, so. They should not be in the student code. They should be in the prefatory section. That would be my understanding. So I would not put them here. Anybody, any discussion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they apply to everybody. But just as we're going through and saying, well, which of these provisions that are now labeled student code would apply to everybody, I think we should simply treat it the same way, to say that as we're going through, we're noting that, and that we may then deal with this idea the same way we'll deal with other provisions that apply to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That it'll be,
flag the note in a
sense. Yeah.
So, Margaret, in flagging the note, we want to say core values should be apply to everyone in the should be in the campus code. Yeah, I'm sorry. you type faster than I think. Okay.
I wanted to suggest we go back up to this other paragraph, which I had not commented on. This the code does not cover government conduct part. But I do think, and I don't have the language right now, but I think that it needs some changes. And that's, you know, particularly when I read what Kevin had written in some of his material, he had flagged that there's a real difference between the provisions as suggested by University Counsel's Office with regard to concurrent criminal prosecution, say downtown or someplace else, and campus application of campus provisions. And I went through our existing code again with this, and there's a lot of detail about the preference for having potential criminal prosecutions run first and then having the code come in. And the concern with that, there can be multiple concerns, but a big one is the Fifth Amendment issues, that if you have concurrent prosecutions, basically, that it may be very difficult for an individual to participate up here if what you say can then be used against you downtown, because there's no Fifth Amendment right with regard to Cornell as a private institution. So I do think that that's something that we should rework.
This sounds like a procedural.
I think it is procedural. I don't.
So this whole paragraph should be moved to procedure?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to have a comment in that we will reconsider, or we will consider the provision about concurrent or consecutive.
Oh, no, I buy that completely.
Process.
But you're not going to forget that.
No, but I think we should write things down, because I know how I am, and I think, I'll never forget that.
So I think this note, hold, just a second, Margaret. I think this is a flag that we need to vote on. So Reese's proposal is to move this, ultimately, to move it to the procedural section and reconsider the content.
Yeah, that's good enough.
So we shouldn't discuss the content right now.
No, I think finding a place in procedure, mm-hmm. and then thinking about how the process works, I think all that needs that context. But that sounds, but we should vote on that flagging.
I was suggesting, Risa was specific about concurrent prosecution. I think we ought to put that somewhere in there. In other words, not just reconsider, but just reconsider.
Reconsider the implications
of concurrent prosecution. Yeah.
Okay.
I think prosecution is a legal word, right? And these processes on campus aren't legal processes. I would stay away from legalistic language. I mean, that was a directive from the original rewrite of it.
This is just a note.
A note.
We just say,
right,
reconsider concurrent processes.
Yeah, perfect.
I think that's what it says.
Criminal or
process.
Concurrent processes. Okay, we'll use it, concurrent processes, instead. So, Margaret, you go ahead and write it, because then we're going to be voting on it. So, move this paragraph No! Don't move it. We're flagging.
It's the note.
I'm sorry. We're not able to do that yet. So move this paragraph to the procedural, and reconsider, or the implications of concurrent processes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So, any discussion of that? We're voting on the flag and basically the disposition of this paragraph. Any discussion? All in favor? Okay, good. Now we're to the next red one. Yeah, so we're going to see stuff.
Just a point of
I see that we're going to a new section, and we also have three other things on the agenda to go through. So the delegation passed for October 28th, the update on the agreements with the creation of some committees.
Yeah, I know nothing about the hearing and review boards.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was Logan. What else? Delegation. I don't know what delegation of tasks to be.
That must be what we're going to do next.
Oh, there's probably. I mean, we're going to meet again next week. Is that already set?
2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks? 1 week?
I think it's 6 weeks.
If we do really good this week, we can wait 2 weeks.
The next one will be the 21st.
The 21st?
Oh, no. I didn't think we were.
Oh, I don't have it on the 21st.
No.
The 28th.
28th.
That's the next one.
28th. What is the day? Today is the 7th. So it's in 3 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're for the 28th. So delegation of tasks. You know, Logan can just do this to us. I mean, just
find out, like, talk about a delegation of tasks over email.
Yeah, I was going to say, she could probably just do that, ask for volunteers or whatever. It's in the same, I think.
Is that for the procedures or,
you know, Logan
the violations already?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've assigned tasks for all of the first draft of them. So the procedural section, yes, we should be moving into that. And I don't have a way to do it, but... I would suggest that Logan softly but authoritatively assign us responsibility. If that's okay, that's sound, because otherwise I have no idea how to do that. Margaret, let the minutes show that Logan is tasked. Tasked with the responsibility of assigning us tasks for the procedural section. Has everyone completed? I've forgotten. I didn't scroll all the way down to look. But we have suggestions for all of this part of the council.
Let's go through.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we're...
Thank you.
Okay, so we are at the next red section. Motion to accept. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor? I wondered why. Oh, I can't do this. Can I? Well, yeah, but I'm supposed to be neutral or something. I can't vote on my own stuff. So it's. Ethically, I refuse to do it. Okay, so that brings us, now I think, Risa, this brings us to the yellow section. That's, you flagged that, right?
Yeah.
So tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, so are we, I was thinking about something else. For what we just voted on, I mean, I did agree to vote on that. Are we going to also continue to flag things that apply to everybody?
Yeah,
this
whole section.
It might be that the entire thing does, so maybe
yeah.
We could just note that.
I think the whole section
will. I would maybe not, because the comment that you said that's on this one.
Okay,
might not.
Let's see. But maybe we could hold that and then make sure to ask ourselves that, or do it paragraph by paragraph. I don't know. Okay, so what did I say? Let me see again. This is awful, but I'm used. I can't see anything in here. And it's hard for me to read up there.
Is this provision needed?
Let me see.
If it is, should we add language noting that individuals and groups may engage in protest or other free speech activity outside the meeting?
Yeah, okay. And actually, this is someplace where the original code speaks to the issue. I looked at it, and I didn't remember part of it, and I did remember other parts. So this might be useful to actually look at the original code on this. Okay, so in the current campus code, there's a subsection under responsible speech and expression. And the subsection says public speaking events on a campus. And so that's 3A. This is on page 5 of the current campus code, if anybody's looking at it. And then under that, there's a sub 1, arrangements for invited speakers. And so so the language of that seems to me to in many ways be better. So maybe we could look at that.
It's kind of a slow process to do it that way. Do you have an amendment that?
Okay, let me just read you this paragraph and get the sense of it and then think about it, okay? Any recognized campus organization is free to invite a speaker to address its own membership in a private closed meeting under ground rules set by the inviting organization.
That's better.
Okay, a closed meeting can serve many legitimate purposes, including creation of a more informal atmosphere, maximizing the opportunity of organization members to ask questions, allowing the speaker to talk, quote, off the record, close quote, and ensuring a particular kind of discussion because of advanced preparation by the organization's membership. If a speaker is likely to attract widespread interest among non-members, however, the group would often be wise to open the meeting to non-members, including those with views contrary to those of the speaker. Nevertheless, the university does not insist that the group do so.
So, with the exception of those last two sentences,
I'm interested in. I'll raise my placard.
Joe and then
Joe is first. Go ahead, Joe.
So, the question that you posed in your comment, Lisa, is this provision needed? I believe so, just because the line subject to certain sources of funding requirements. I think overall the paragraph says that, but that line is really important, especially from student activity fee perspective, because they are funding bodies that we fund in which you must make it so, because you're not eligible for funding. So if you do receive funding from a funding board that requires you to be open, you're not allowed to have that event be closed, even if it's like a dollar, because you receive funding. I think overall the paragraph says the same thing as that paragraph. It just adds this really important phrase that we as the student assembly can't control, and we can take action against those organizations that do break it, even without this, like through our charter of the student assembly.
So the first 7 words are what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then that could be added to the existing code. Right?
That's basically what I was asking. That is, Risa, what you read does not have actually, the phrase I was interested in is on Cornell-owned property. Does that clause have on Cornell-owned property there?
No.
Yeah. So I think that's clear because, for example, off-campus student groups could hold closed meetings, but not with student activities funds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'd be keeping that first line. There was a...
That first line is 2 paragraphs down in the code. By what?
And where?
Only members.
Yeah. Having it's on the property.
It seems like the overcode gives a lot of examples of why it's important. Or why it might be important to have a closed door meeting, but I'm not sure that the code means to say, give examples of why.
I don't think it does. I mean, that's the reason I'd strike those last two sentences.
That's also why
sentences.
They hyperlinked.
Yeah,
that's also why they hyperlinked the event names.
Yeah, good. And so people can get it down below.
Yeah.
So with the exception of those two lines and adding subject to certain source of funding requirements, I like the existing code language. We have to. Does everyone understand? If we amend this, we're going to have to tell Margaret later what that language is.
Mm-hmm.
But if everyone understands what Risa's proposed amendment does, then we can dispose of it now.
I'm not sure what I proposed as amendment. I was just giving you the current language. I think the question is whether what's proposed meets what the current language has.
I guess, at least in my reading, it does, and with the major addition being what I talked about with Fleming, but I think it hits every point. Mm-hmm.
So when we go ahead and vote adding that first seven words, then we take the existing code language that Risa read, not the last two sentences, we vote on that. And I think next time when we have the language in front of us for certain, you know, so we can really look at it, we look at it again. But I want to get through this.
I'm so sorry, I just don't follow what you're suggesting, and I realize you're trying to say what I said.
you read to us
yeah.
a section of the code.
Right.
With the exception of the last two sentences you read us,
okay.
that sounded fine to me.
Mm-hmm.
With the addition of the first seven words there, subject to certain source of funding requirements.
But the last two sentences that I read to you include the thing of opening it up.
No, they were examples.
Yeah, the last two sentences of the paragraph were, if the speaker is likely to attract widespread interest among non-members, however, the group would often be wise to open
it. Yeah, that we didn't. I mean, I didn't.
Nevertheless, the university does not insist that the group do so.
Yeah.
So we do need that part about opening up the meeting.
This is a problem. If we don't have explicit language proposed, you know, we're going to get balled up and...
Right. I think we should just leave this, actually. I was actually putting it out there so that people could discuss whether what's proposed in this new language does meet what the original code had. And it sounds like it may well meet what the original code had.
So you were withdrawing your objection?
I was just raising it as an issue.
Well, okay.
I'm not withdrawing anything.
So... let's see. I guess what we're left with is just this language and moving on. Is that right?
Well, I have something else for this paragraph. But I didn't say anything about it. I'm only thinking of it as I'm looking now, but I don't know if you're ready for it. I do make a motion now that we remove regulations governing both private and public speaking events are found at, and then this link. I don't think that's appropriate to put into a code. It's unstable. Having been here for many, many years, I know that you've got to be like a hawk watching what gets put on and taken off from regulations.
Where is this?
Information about instead of regulations.
I don't think so. I would take it out completely.
Yeah, I want to concur with that, just because we ran into this issue last year with these same links about event planning, where these changes were made. I maybe we'll just flag those two links and say, insert information from the current links there, here, so it's hard copy in there, and we take out the hyperlinks.
Based on what we like.
Based on what we like of those event management things, but a lot of those are already risk management stuff that I've learned to deal with.
I think for now we should remove it, and then we should decide whether there's anything else from those links we want to put in.
Okay, so that's a motion to strike.
Yes.
Is there a second?
No second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Okay, six in favor. Anyone opposed? And one opposed and one abstention.
Can we just add like a flag that to go back to those to at a later date?
Yes. And
wouldn't you just copy that and put that in the
flag?
Yeah.
Can I discuss before, even though I'm out of order?
You can discuss it. We're all out of order. Go.
So the only reason I went against it, not is because what if policies change around those things? Because the website version, students could click on and see the policies. If it was in writing and the policies changed, it wouldn't be up to date in the code.
Yeah,
I don't know what the aversion to a link is, I guess. I've only been here since November.
I think it's the wrong, I like links too, but it's the wrong order. The regulations must be consistent with code. It's not that the code has to be consistent with the regulations.
Yeah.
And so I think what Joe is suggesting is if there are provisions in the current regulations that we think belong in the code, we should put them there. And then if the university wants to adopt other regulations, it has to ask itself, are these consistent with the code? If they're not, then they have to come and change the code.
I read it, in addition to this, there might be other things here that you need to know about,
yeah.
More informative.
Yeah, well, that may be true, but I think that my experience has been that these regulations is where oftentimes real substantive contradictory material gets put in there, and then we have to fight about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to just add that. That's what happened last year. We had... Like this, how I'm assuming we'll go for it is that the general principle regulations, and then those links will supplement them with like the nitty gritty bureaucratic stuff.
Right.
Last year we had an issue in which the nitty gritty bureaucratic stuff was changed without any consultation with like generalized principles, and like it caused this massive ruckus with the student assembly by putting generalized principles there, and the it almost forces them to talk with the students. If their bureaucratic rules align with the principles and allows us to push back and allows us to actually make the correct changes that they're still making today.
Yeah, you're speaking not as a temporary chair. I really agree with that. I mean, the links can change. I mean, so what we'd be doing now would be approving what's in those links, and the university could change them at any point in the future.
Right.
And to me, that's wrong. So I would just strike it, but strike it altogether.
I think we've already just striked it, right?
Yeah. And to then flag for ourselves to look to see is there anything in there that we'd actually like to substantively put into the code.
So Margaret, what we want to do is take that paragraph, that sentence out or in the links, and then make a flag. And put those sentences back in there, right, like that. And then with a note to us that we will revisit the links to see what might be useful or to include in the code. Good. Okay, so what are we at? We got like 3 minutes. We may not. I think the next one is yours, Risa.
It is.
Within commonly accepted limits, yes. And you want to strike that, right?
Yes, I do.
So, and that's a. You moved that.
I do.
Do we have a second? We have a second. Then we have a third. Any discussion? Joe's not here, but I think we can vote. So
I'd like, if everybody agrees with me, I'm fine with not having a discussion, but if there are people who have some concerns with this, striking it, then I think we should discuss it.
I think it's vague. We can commonly accept the limits of safety.
And who's going to decide those limits? That's what bothers me.
Freedom of expression is a term of value in university union. It says what we need to say.
So, any other discussion?
I'm just thinking about it. I think where I think of it is commonly accepted limits of safety and civility. Does that mean my freedom of expression of coming to class naked and sitting in the front row is okay here?
Actually, that's come up.
Has it?
Yeah, there was a performance in art somewhere where, yes, make it. So anyway, but
that would be in my college too. I'm not surprised by that, but I'm just thinking, like, when I think of accepted limits of safety and civility, my freedom to be whoever I want to be, there are some spaces where I can't just do that.
Those would be probably under disruptions of class, rather than freedom of expression. But there's always going to be this gray line.
Yeah.
And the problem here is assigning responsibility. And I, speaking out of order, but I think accepted limits of safety and civility, those have the ring to me of being too narrow for what... Right, too broad. Well, that's what I meant. Too narrowly restricting, but too broad. So I would strike it.
Can I just add, it isn't, I think what the point is, and I think what Richard was saying, it isn't that there aren't lines that people can cross.
Right.
There are lines you can cross with regard to expression, whether it's actual, you know, oral speech, written speech, expressive conduct, you can cross lines, and those lines can move into unprotected expression. Mm-hmm. But when we're defining unprotected expression, it should be specific enough, clear enough, and actually identify what those lines are so that we don't kill people's ability to speak and express themselves in ways that might be offensive to somebody else. So if I'm in a classroom and I use obscenity, well, somebody might say, well, that's commonly accepted by, you know, a lot of people, that that's uncivil. And I might say, no, that's freedom of expression. So whose common definition is that? If we're going to say there are certain unprotected forms of expression, we should say what they are and not leave it to some unknown decision maker to tell us what's commonly accepted.
Yeah, I mean, I always separate the line between faculty's academic freedom in the classroom to use an obscenity as a teacher. There's that piece versus how a student's going to behave or present or...
I feel the same way about students as well. If
right.
they want to use obscenity, I'm fine with that.
Right.
We're still in the general
right.
comments,
right.
and the place to be specific is in the actual... in each actual area where we can be specific. I think this should stay away from that kind of vague, within commonly accepted limits. It's just open to anybody's interpretation and isn't specific enough. And this isn't a place for specificity.
I agree with Laura. That has a chilling effect where it is.
I think that we should fly it where it is, though, so when we come to the limits later,
so I think the way to do that, first we have a motion to strike,
mm-hmm.
and that has a second, is that right? Okay, so it has a second. We vote on that, and then Gavin, you're right, we could take that language and put it in a flag to revisit. So first is on the motion to strike. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seconded it?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It's been seconded.
So the result would be freedom of expression is of paramount value in the university committee, period.
Community.
Yes.
A community, right.
And
right.
then the university recognizes and respects rights to academic freedom.
Well, actually, there's a recommendation to strike that from Richard.
Really?
No.
At least there was.
The reason... I don't know what happened to it. That last sentence, the university recognizes respects rights to academic freedom. The reason I'm wanting to strike that is it's redundant with the opening sentence. You're just repeating yourself. So that's the reason why that last sentence. I moved to strike. I don't know what happened to that recommendation. But anyway, let's do the first thing first.
Well, the reason I asked that question was that... freedom of expression is a paramount value in the university committee.
Community.
Within commonly expected limits of safety and visibility. This is a statement of values that we're working through, right? Commitment to responsible speech. But freedom of expression, that's an assertion. And so there isn't anything in there that says what's responsible or what's not. and the civility and safety is limiting, is defining responsible speech. Otherwise, it's just a statement of principles. Freedom of expression is a value,
yep,
which could go up in a statement of principles. It would not be here, because this is actually saying responsible.
So I think, Marty, what you're suggesting is that we strike the whole paragraph.
I am, yeah.
So I would favor that, because we have that first sentence is, the university has long affirmed its commitment to free expression and academic freedom, dot, 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 dot.
Right, and then what should come thereafter, I'm suggesting, would be what constitutes responsible speech and expression, if that's what we're going to define in subsequent bullets.
That's another issue, though.
Mm-hmm.
The issue right now, I guess Marty's making an amendment to suggest moving an amendment to Reese's amendment, which is to strike that entire paragraph. Is there a second for that? Okay, so we're running, unless there's any discussion, we have two votes now. The first one is to strike the paragraph. If we strike the paragraph, then Reese's amendment falls.
Just that one bullet you're talking about.
The bullet. Yeah.
Yeah, the one bullet. Starting freedom, ending freedom. Okay?
I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I understand the reason why you're suggesting to strike it. I think that this is such a fundamental point that if it's not in these bullets, it's going to get lost, as opposed to just in the... In the introduction. I think that if we're going to say that, you know, in terms of like what you had suggested in your substitute paragraph, Richard, that freedom of speech can't be absolute, la 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 la, it should be introduced by a reaffirmation of freedom of expression and academic freedom. I just think it should be in there.
I think we should, if I could speak, table this for now, because it's a bigger conversation and I know a bunch of us have to go.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we are ending the meeting with Martin's motion on the floor with Martin's motion to amend Reese's amendment to that section. There we go. Okay, any...
Oh, we did a
lot.
Motion to adjourn.
Yay!
Progress.
No!
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.